Oh, praise the Lord. Well, let's, where are we? Verse 8, or chapter 18, as we dig in here, and hopefully get through this. It says, now it came to pass in the third year of Hosea, just in that place where God is working and God is moving, God is changing things so quickly, so we... it's hard for us to hang on sometimes. And you can also find a comparative chapter in Isaiah 36 through 39 as you look and see what's going on there. And also 2 Chronicles 29, the things that are going on and just the additions that are there. But it says that Hezekiah, the son of Ahaz, king of Judah, began to reign. And 25 years old was he when he began to reign. And he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Abi, the daughter of Zechariah. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that David his father did. So here's a man, we finally have a good king. and it's only in Jerusalem, because remember all the kings of Israel were bad, and there was just a few kings in Judah that were good, and Hezekiah is one of them. And it says in verse 4 that he removed the high places and break the images. So the idolatry, the worship of idols that was there, he's taking care of. He's seeking the Lord's heart for it, wanting to do what's right. It says that he break the images, cut down the groves, and break in pieces the brazen serpent that Moses had made. For in those days did the children of Israel did burn incense to it, and called it Nehushtan, which is just means thing of brass. They're worshiping this brass. Amazing. And brass in Scripture always talks of judgment. So they're worshiping judgment, which probably, I don't know. I don't worship judgment a whole lot, but they're in that place. But even in the church, we can make idols out of things. We can make idols out of those ways that are going on in the churches and the things of the church, and we certainly don't want to do that. We see enough religion that's going on where they worship things that people can hold on to and touch and have instead of worshiping the true and living God. We certainly don't want to go to that place. But it says that he trusted in the Lord God of Israel, so that after him was none like him among all the kings of Judah, nor any that were before him. And we have an issue that's going on here, because in chapter 23, it talks about Josiah, and it says this in verses 14 and 15, that he break down the pieces of images and cut down the groves, filled the places with bones of men. Moreover, the altar that was at Bethel and also the high place which Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who made Israel to sin, had made, both that altar and the high place break down and burned that, stamped it into powder. And Josiah was the one that did it. And it says that Josiah, there was none like him before or after. And so we got an issue that's going on here, but as you look at it, Josiah was after the law. Josiah was great in the things of the law and promoting the things of the law and giving those things out, where Hezekiah walked more by faith. He had that place where faith was important in his life, where he walked by faith. And so a lot of commentators believe that the Lord said this because Hezekiah was great in faith to be an example to the people. Josiah going after the things of the Lord through the law, and great in that way. And so you can take those and do with it what you want, or you can search it out even more and let me know what's going on, because who knows? We got it. But here it is, and we're in this place where we're just seeking the things of the Lord, and Hezekiah's seeking the things of the Lord, and the Lord really blesses him and encourages him. But Hezekiah was walking in the ways of the Lord and walking very close, pressing in and just desiring more and more of the things of the Lord. And you think after all these years that how could any man turn a country around? Well, this is the way, by somebody who's in that position, who's in that place, that wants the things of the Lord, that is going after the things of the Lord and putting those things in place where the Lord could be seen and known, and his presence would be evident in the ways that he ruled, the ways that he taught, the ways that he brought laws to pass. So here's this man, and it also means too probably that the people were hungry and wanted the things of the Lord, and once somebody instituted that and just started showing it, that others followed. And that's just so encouraging. And we look at it certainly in that place where of Israel as the country, as the nation, but also in that place that individuals can change households, individuals can change communities, individuals can change the way things that are going on around them at their workplace. And we certainly want to be like that too. Lord, help me to be in that place where not just the country is doing this, but I can do it. Because God's no respecter of persons, and what he did with Hezekiah, he can certainly do with you and I, and wants to do with you and I. He wants us to be those influencers in this world of who he is. And we have that place. We had a gal, we went to a concert, we went to Phillips, Craig, and Dean. I don't know if you know them, but they sing on the radio, and we went and saw them because they're old. So we liked them. They're moving about as fast as we are. But in the midst of it, we get there, we're sitting down, and all of a sudden my daughter comes, and she's got this girl hanging on to her, and she's got her head pressed into her shoulder, and she is just bawling. And it was just like, what is going on here, and who is this? And she comes up to us, and it was a gal that my daughter had grown up with years ago out at a church in Hilton, and she was just crying because it was so good to see her, and she was crying, and she comes up and she goes, you don't know how much of an influence you had on my life, that you looked like Jesus to me, and I just wanted it. I said, who are you? I didn't even recognize her. But it was just amazing. And she was just a little kid when we knew her. And we left soon afterwards. But all these years, she had held on to the fact that somebody looked like Jesus, and she wanted it. You never know who you're touching. And I don't say it to promote myself, because I don't need to, because God can do whatever he wants. But just to realize that we have an influence all of our lives, all the way through. We don't know who we're going to influence and who's watching us. Who's looking at us and who's looking at our lives and going, this is the kind of life I want. And it's great to see younger people loving the Lord and worshiping. It's just a wonderful thing to see and a wonderful thing to understand that God is moving and God is still working. And sometimes we get so discouraged because we think nothing is happening, and yet everything's happening. God is still working on individuals and he's working on nations. And we see what's happening with the world. The ICC, the International Criminal Court, has just issued warrants for the arrest of Netanyahu and the other high-ranking officials in Israel for genocide. They issued no warrants for the arrest of Hamas and what they did. No warrants for Iran and what they've done to the people of Iran, killing hundreds and thousands of people a year just because they don't like them. No warrants for them, but warrants for Israel. The whole world against Israel. And yesterday, at the Security Council, there was only one no vote against Israel, against sanctioning Israel again. And it came from the U.S. Thank you, Lord, that they're still there. Even though our government gave the Palestinians $230 million more dollars. And we know it's going to be gone because the leaders need money. So the people aren't going to see it. The leaders are. But just everybody is coming against Israel. And we know what that's a picture of. We see it in Scripture. We see the prophecy of it coming to pass. So we know these things are going to have to be. But boy, it just bothers you, doesn't it? To see how the world is treating him and how individuals are treating him and the hatred that's there. And we know it's just hatred from the enemy. And he's turning the hearts of people against Israel and against Christianity. And on one hand, you rejoice. On the other hand, it scares you to death. Because you know they're after us. And you know they're coming. But we've got a God that's still on the throne. And I'm thinking rapture. I don't know about you, but I'm going. I'm ready to go. Be an influencer, be in that place where the Lord has an influence through your life to those around you. And don't worry about the results. Don't worry about seeing fruit of it. God is going to take care of that. We're not in charge of salvation. God is the God of salvation. Not Calvary Chapels, not Living Water, not the churches that are named. It's God that does it. And so look to him. He's the standard. And it says that the Lord was with him in verse 7, and he prospered whithersoever he went forth. And he rebelled against the king of Assyria and served him not. Certainly in that place of just seeking the things of the Lord, and the Lord answers the cries of his heart. He's desiring the things of the Lord to happen. And it says in Psalm 1, we've gone through this psalm before, but a man of God, it says, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. We see that coming to pass, the promises of God coming to pass in an individual's life. And certainly if it happens in his life, it can happen in our lives. Oh, Lord, make me prosperous, not so much financially, but make me prosperous spiritually. Help me to grow in the fruit of the Spirit in my life. And help me to be that person that has an influence, whether the world knows it or not, whether I know it or not, but help me to be an influencer in the people in this world. Because they need to know Jesus. They need to see his love in his grace and his mercy. And so this is what Hezekiah is doing in verse 8. It says that he smote the Philistines, the archenemy of Israel. Certainly speaking of those, the lovers of evil that were there. The ones that were supposed to be put away, that never got put away, that are still rising up even to this day. But he smote them, and he gives us victory over our enemies. And you can look at it as a nation group, and that's fine because it's true. But also look at it in your own lives as you're getting victory over the things that the enemy has put into your life. The anger, the bitterness, the hurt, the frustration, the desires that aren't godly. That God can make you prosperous in those things too. And bring about a better life for you. He doesn't do it because we have to. He does it because we get to. And it enhances our life. And it makes us more like Jesus. And we're sitting here saying we're born again Christians. We love the Lord. And we'll all raise our hands. And he goes, are you growing? Or are you still the same this year that you were last year at this time? Because he doesn't want us to stand still. He wants us to keep going. And to keep growing. So Lord, show me those areas where I haven't moved, where I'm just spinning my wheels like I'm stuck in the snow. Snow's coming, sorry. The white stuff is on its way. But we don't want to be spinning our wheels. We want to be growing. And so get in that place where the Lord can work in your life, where you'll allow the Lord to grow you and to minister to you. And to have his way with you. That's what we want. And that's what we want for the body of Christ. And so continue to be an encouragement. And you know what? As you people come in to church on Sundays, people are looking at you. And as they see you worshiping, as they see you paying attention to the Word of God, and writing things down in your Bibles, and just practicing those things before them, they're going to say, these people know the Lord. How come I don't know him like they do? Because you can be influencers here as well. And we should be. Wherever we go, we should be an influence. And not for stupidity and not for dumbness. We have enough of that. But for righteousness. In Ephesians chapter 4, it talks about walking in true holiness and righteousness, that active walk that we have with the things of the Lord. And the Lord says, this is what I want for your life. I want true holiness, not just fake holiness. I want true holiness, and I want righteousness working in your life. Oh, and that's the walk that the Lord has for us. And again, not because we have to do it, but because this is the best place for us. If we're walking in true holiness and righteousness, we're walking in a blessed life. And don't you want to get blessed by the Lord? I do. It's just like, Lord, please change me. Because the more I get in the Word, the more I see myself, and the more I see how ugly I look, and the more I see how black my heart is in certain places. And Lord, change it, please. I know that you can restore the years that the locust has eaten, that the things that the world has done to me that have kept me in bondage. Lord, free me from those things so that I can be pure and holy in my walk with you, that active walk in the things of the Lord. And that's what chapters 4 through 6 in Ephesians are all about, is an active walk with Jesus. If you want to see how to walk, get there and just take a peek at it. Oh, it's horrible because you realize how far you are from it, but it's encouraging because he wants to get you there. And we can't do it. We can't work it up in ourselves to do it. He can do it for us as we look to him and just submit to him. And so it says that he smote the Philistines even to Gaza. He should have kept going because Gaza is still around. In the borders thereof and from the tower of the watchman to the fenced city. And it came to pass in the fourth year of King Hezekiah, which was the seventh year of Hoshea, son of Elah, king of Israel, that Shalmaneser, king of Syria, came up against Samaria, where Hoshea is, and he besieged it. Because remember, Hoshea and Israel are not walking in the ways of the Lord, not walking in the things of the Lord. And Judah is watching this and seeing what the enemy is doing to their neighboring fellow countrymen, fellow believers, fellow maybe even blood relatives. Because some of them probably live in Israel and are under that reign of Hoshea. That is the ninth year of Hoshea, king of Israel. Samaria was taken. It was taken captive because their ways didn't please the Lord. Their ways weren't in the way of the Lord. And we look at America and we see that we're not in the way of the Lord. Wasn't it President Obama said that this is no longer a Christian nation? He was right, but he was years late, because we haven't been a Christian nation in years. And we're reaping the results of it. All the things that are going on and all the laws that our country is making and all the things that are happening in our country are not symptoms of sin. They are sin. And it just shows that judgment has already started in the ways of our country, that God is already bringing judgment upon our country because of the things that are already there. We aren't entering into it. We're already there. It's just like, but God is still working on individuals, and he still wants us to be faithful. No matter how bad the country looks, we still need to be faithful, because we want to walk in the ways of the Lord and not in the ways of our country. And so hang on. Don't get discouraged. Be encouraged. Be comforted. You're going in the right direction. You're reading your Bibles. You're following after the things of the Lord. The Holy Spirit's indwelling you, in ministering to you, and encouraging you. Be comforted in that. But continue on, because the battle is still raging. And what a battle there is, huh? The things that are going on. So it says that Samaria was taken. And then verse 11, and the king of Assyria did carry away Israel unto Assyria, and put them in Halah in Habor by the river of Gozan in the cities of the Medes, because they obeyed not the voice of the Lord their God. This is what's going to happen if we don't obey the voice of the Lord our God. We're going to be besieged, we're going to be taken captive, and we're going to be moved. And maybe not moved physically, but spiritually. We moved away from the things of the Lord and walking in the ways of the world. because they put them in a whole different place where they didn't speak their language. They had to learn all new customs. They had to learn all new things. And America's having to learn all new customs, isn't it? We've never been in a place before where transgenders were taking over women's sports. Who would have thought? Who would have thought that we'd be in this place? I never thought in my lifetime I would see this.
Why is that, though?
Just
why did they give them rights?
Because they're not following after the things of the Lord. It's human rights and not godly rights.
Right.
Yeah. And they, humanism is ruling and reigning.
Do you notice the girls are not going into men's sports because they're not strong?
There's a difference. Go figure. Who would have known there was a difference between men and women? I never noticed when I was a kid. Because they didn't obey the voice of the Lord. We saw it last time in chapter 17, the progression of things that were going to happen as we don't obey the things of the Lord and not listen to the things of the Lord, and how awful that progression is. And we see it taking place here. Even though they saw it, they didn't believe that it was real. They didn't believe that God was involved in it. And so it didn't matter the direction they went. Everybody felt good, and everybody was patting each other on the back. Everybody gets a trophy. Not in God's kingdom. This active walk that we need to have. They didn't obey the voice of the Lord their God, but they transgressed. As you don't obey the things of the Lord, as you don't hear the things of the Lord, because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God, they didn't obey. And as you don't obey, you start sinning against God's ways. And they would not hear at the end of that verse. They would not hear, nor would they do them. Oh, and that's the progression that's going to take place as we go through. Lord, help us in it. If we're in any way in any of this verse, Lord, help us and change us. Stop us where we are. Because there's always forgiveness with God, he tells us. As long as we're still breathing, there's still a chance for forgiveness. So Lord, forgive us and help us to change and help us to go on. Says in verse 13, now in the 14th year of King Hezekiah did Sennacherib, king of Assyria. So as the years go by, the change in the leaders in Assyria, he comes up against the fenced cities of Judah and took them. And Hezekiah, king of Judah, sent to the king of Assyria to Lachish, saying, I have offended. Return from me. That which thou puttest on me, I will bear. And the king of Assyria appointed unto Hezekiah, king of Judah, 300 talents of silver, wow, and 30 talents of gold. And Hezekiah gave him all the silver that was found in the house of the Lord, the things that he shouldn't be doing. So was Hezekiah perfect? No. Was he blessed by God? Yes. But notice nowhere in these verses do you see him crying out to the Lord. By the time we get to the next chapter, we see a change in his life, and he does seek the Lord. Praise the Lord for it. But it just shows that a believer can falter and fail and bow to the things of the world instead of standing strong in the things of the Lord. It's there for an example for us that we don't have to do it, but as we do, these are going to be the consequences and the results of it. What happens to his kingdom? He loses his financial status. He loses that place of having the things in the house of the Lord that were supposed to be there. He has to give them to an enemy. Oh, Lord, help us never to give up to our enemy the things that God has put in our hearts. The peace, the joy, the love, the long-suffering, the temperance, the goodness, all those things that God has put there, help us not to give them up to the enemy. It's a heavy weight that we give when the enemy comes in. He demands a heavy weight. And it's always destructive to a country, to a person. So Lord, help us not to give in. And at that time, verse 16, did Hezekiah cut off the gold from the doors of the temple of the Lord and from the pillars which Hezekiah, king of Judah, had overlaid and gave it to the king of Assyria. And then the king of Assyria sent Tartan, and Rab Sharis and Rab Sheka, the Rabs are here, from Lachish to King Hezekiah with a great host against Jerusalem. And the thing that gets me right away is no matter how much you give the enemy, he always wants one more thing. Well, okay, I won't go to church on Wednesday. Well, I don't want you to go to church on Sunday either. Ugh. How sad. How sad a place we come to. How sad a place that we enter into when we give up the things of the Lord and start giving away the things of the Lord that he's given us and not trusting him, in trusting the enemy. So the enemy comes and he wants more. And they went up and they came to Jerusalem. And when they were come up, these ambassadors from Assyria, hey, we got this much stuff, let's go get some more. They came and stood by the conduit of the upper pool, which is in the highway of the fuller's field. And when they had called to the king, there came out to them Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah, which was over the household, and Shebna, the scribe, and Joah, the son of Asaph, the recorder. And Rabshakeh said unto them, speak ye now unto Hezekiah, thus saith the great king. Notice what his title is now. He's not just the king of Assyria. He's a great king. Oops. Man making himself to be great. Remember some of the other kings that the Lord said that they were great kings? When the Lord says it, it means one thing. When man says it, it means a whole nother thing. I'd rather have God say that to me than man. And Rabshakeh said to them, speak ye now to Hezekiah, thus saith the great king, the king of Assyria, what confidence is it in this, is this wherein thou trusteth? So we're going to see three things that they trusted in, three things that they were trusting in, not just the things of the Lord, which they trusted in somewhat, but they were trusting in other things too. And the Lord will always want to shake that from us. He doesn't want us trusting in anything but him for all our ways. Not just financially, not just emotionally, but spiritually and mentally. The enemy wants to take all those things away from us that God wants to give us. Because God is involved in every part of your life. Not just where you live and how you are in your marriage and how you are in your workplace, but in all the things that you put your hands to, your community, your family, your church family, all these things the enemy wants to dig in and grab a hold of. And if we're trusting in anything but our God, God sometimes will let that be shaken so that we can see what we're really trusting in and what we really need to trust in. Oh. And there's a scripture in Isaiah that says one day under heaven, everything is going to be shaken. Wow. God is going to shake the whole world. And who are you going to trust in when the whole world is shaken? Lord, help me just to be trusting in you and no other thing. But that takes discipline. That takes a lifestyle. That takes choice on our part. That, Lord, no matter what, I'm not trusting in this paycheck, even though it's nice and I can pay bills with it. I'm trusting in you because you provided this way for me so I can have a paycheck. It's just amazing. The things that we hear and the things that we're going to see that are going to come to pass. And we know things can be shaken. We see it shaken now. As the world comes in and just wants more and more, and the enemy wants more and more, that things are going to be shaken. One of the guys last night, his workplace just went through some layoffs. And they started to walk out the people the week before Thanksgiving. They're walking people out of work. The first guy that went out was a guy that was 61 years old. Only had 4 years till he retired. And just before Thanksgiving. And what's that going to cause them to do at Thanksgiving? Well, I'm not thankful. Gee, I wonder who's working that out. Oh, Lord, help us. Because no matter what time of year, no matter what things that go on, we're always to have thankfulness in our hearts towards everything that's happening. And that's a discipline, isn't it? That's a choice. Well, you can choose to be angry, or you can choose to be thankful that God is still taking care of you. God, I'm still alive. And the older I get, that's more here out of all the white hairs that are going around. Well, I'm above ground and not below ground, so I'm thankful I got today. I'm thankful that I've got a God that loves me, whether I'm going underground or whether I'm going to Him. I'm still thankful. Lord, help. Help me to always be thankful, no matter what. So he says, these are the things that you're trusting in. So from verses 20 through 25, we see these three things. They're trusting in Hezekiah. They trust in Egypt, the ways of the world that are around them. And they trust in the things that God says, which is great. Hold on to that one. Get rid of the other two. Don't worry about what man says. Don't worry about what other nations say. Worry about what God says and trust in Him. I remember when I first started teaching in doing Bible studies, and it happens to every single pastor that I talk with. You know, somebody inevitably comes up and says, you know what? That was the best teaching I've ever heard on that scripture in my life. Get rid of it. And the next week they weren't there anymore. Well, evidently it wasn't that good. And that's what one pastor told me. He said, don't listen to them. Because today they're going to praise you. Next week they're going to have you crucified. They said that to Jesus, didn't they? Hosanna. Hosanna in the highest. The next week it's crucify him. Don't listen to what man is going to say. You listen to what God says. Oh, help, Lord. So in verse 20 he says, you say, but they are but vain words. I have counsel and strength for the war. Now in whom dost thou trust that thou rebellest against me? Now behold, you trust upon the staff of this bruised reed, even upon Egypt, which if a man lean, it will go into his hand and it will pierce it. So is Pharaoh, king of Egypt, unto all that trust upon him. But if you say unto me, we trust in the Lord our God, is not that he whose high places and whose altars Hezekiah has taken away? They don't know the God that Hezekiah was worshiping, because they thought because Hezekiah tore down the high places and the groves, that was the God that they should be worshiping. They're not knowing. They're not understanding. And has said unto Judah and Jerusalem, you shall worship before this altar that is you shall worship before this altar in Jerusalem. Now therefore, I pray thee, give pledges to my Lord, the king of Assyria, and I will deliver to thee 2,000 horses if you be able to set riders upon them. I don't know if you got 2,000 men that can ride horses. They're probably all gone. They're probably starved to death. You can't have many people left. How then will you turn away the face of one captain of the least of my master's servants and put thy trust on Egypt for chariots and for horsemen? And now I come up without the Lord against this place to destroy it. The Lord said to me, go up against this land and destroy it. What's he doing? He's scaring the people by saying religious things that will bring fear to their hearts. Because what would the people say? Well, if the Lord was really blessing me, then the enemy wouldn't be doing better than I was. So maybe he's right and I'm wrong. Because the enemy always wants to put fear in your heart. And the enemy is going to say to us, well, you trust in the Lord and look at what's going on in your life. You think the Lord really loves you, the way that things are happening in your life, the way your kids aren't walking with the Lord, the way that you have no influence on your kids anymore, the way that your finances are going? You think the Lord really loves you and is going to take care of you? And you know what? The answer is yes. But it scares us, doesn't it? It stops and makes us think. Just like, oh, what if he's right? Oh. Get rid of that thought right away. That's a lie from the pit of hell, because God does love you and God is going to take care of you no matter what happens. no matter what you go through. Look at Daniel, he's in the lion's den. God, if you really love me, would I be facing all these teeth that are in front of me? And this lion's got bad breath besides. Lord, what's going on here? But he trusted. He knew his relationship with the Lord. Get into a place in your walk with the Lord where you know that the Bible is true and the enemy is a liar. And what does Scripture say? He's the father of all lies. You trust the Word. You trust God. Don't trust the enemy. And help us, Lord, to do that in all our ways. And we're coming into days where it's not going to get better. Our Bibles tell us that. And we're sitting here going, well, we got the right man in the presidency, so, hey, we're on a roll now. We're doing good. You know what? This could be the worst presidency of any time. Because we don't turn the heart of a king. God does. I had one lady the other night. We were out at my great-granddaughter's birthday party, and she was she goes to another church, and she's saying, you know what I think is going on with this? She goes, I think the Lord put him in the presidency so that everybody will sit there and go, peace and safety, and the enemy's just going to blast us. Wow. She goes, but the good thing is the rapture is going to happen. We don't know what's going to happen, but we know that God is working and we know God's still on the throne. We don't trust what's around us. We don't trust who's in the presidency. We trust who's on the throne. Oh, Lord, help us with it. And that's what they're saying. And then in verse 26, oh boy. Then said Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah, and Shebna, and Joah, under Rabshakeh, speak, I pray thee, to thy servants in the Syrian language, for we understand it, and talk not with us in the Jews' language in the ears of the people that are on the wall, because there's going to be people that are there that are going to be shaken because of their youth, because of their walk in the Lord is not as mature as others. And so they say, please talk to us in a different language because we understand this. But Rabshakeh said unto them, hath my master sent me to thy master and to thee, and to speak these words? Hath he not sent me to the men which sit on the wall, that they may eat their own dung and drink their own piss with you? Excuse me, ladies. Then Rabshakeh stood and cried with a loud voice in the Jews' language, and spake, saying, hear the word of the great king, the king of Assyria. Oh, and we should be saying, hear what my great king, the king of kings, the Lord of lords, says to you. Oh. Thus saith the king, let not Hezekiah deceive you. Oh. For he shall not be able to deliver you out of his hand. And can Hezekiah deliver him out? No, but his God can. Oh. Neither let Hezekiah make you trust in the Lord, saying, the Lord will surely deliver us, and this city shall not be delivered into the hand of the king of Assyria. Hearken not to Hezekiah, for thus saith the king of Assyria, make an agreement with me. Let me speak nicely to you. Let me tell you how great things I'm going to do for you. You're going to own nothing, and you're going to be happy about it. Don't you feel better now? You'll all be equal. You'll all have absolutely nothing, but you're going to be happy. Oh, the things that we will give up just so that we can be happy, so that we can be secure and taken care of, when it's our God that does that. It's not the world. Make an agreement with me by a present and come out to me, and then every one of you is going to eat from your own vine. You're all going to have your fig trees. You're going to be wealthy. You're going to drink everyone the waters of a cistern. There's going to be provision for you. If you come out to us and just do what we say, we're going to take care of you. And if they had really been paying attention to what happened in Samaria, because they took the people of Samaria away with brass hooks in their noses, and they led them naked through the desert. Oh, this is how I'm going to have a vine. I'm going to sit in my own field. I'm going to have water. I'm going to have provision. No. But the enemy lies because he doesn't care if he lies or not. Because to him it doesn't matter. To you and I it matters. And the truth should matter to us. That's why we have these Bibles. Because this is the only place of truth. We can't trust our news media because we don't know who's telling the truth, who's not telling the truth. But we can trust the Word of God. Be more in your Word than you are in the news sources. It's going to mean more to you. And he says in verse 32, and be in that place until I come and take you away to a land like your own land. A land of corn and wine, a land of bread and vineyards, a land of oil, olive, and of honey, that you may live. And who said that to him before? You come my way, and I'll bring life to you. Jesus has said that to us, that he wants to give us life. And what is this king saying? I'll give you life. He can't give you life. Only God gives life, real life. You're going to live and you won't die. So hearken not to Hezekiah when he persuades you, saying, the Lord will deliver us. So the enemy comes against all the things that these people are believing in, that they're starting to trust, that they're starting to hold on to. And he's doing a work in Hezekiah's life. He's doing a work in the people's lives to show them that he's God. And he says, hath any of the gods of the nations delivered at all his land out of the hand of the king of Assyria? Where are the gods of Hamath and the god of Arpad? Where are the gods of Shepharvaim, and Henna and Iva? Have they delivered Samaria out of mine hand? And who are they among all the gods of the countries that have delivered their country out of mine hand, that the Lord should deliver Jerusalem out of my hand? But the people held their peace. We resist the enemy, and he has to flee from us. It tells us that in James chapter 4, verse 7. Listen to it here. It says, submit yourselves, therefore, to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. So draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he's going to lift you up. Let God do that work. Don't let man do that work. Let God do that work. But here they are in that place, and they're paying attention to what Hezekiah has said because he's brought them to a place of prosperity. He's brought them to a place of well-being. He's brought them to a place because of the work of the Lord in the kingdom, because he's been following the things of the Lord. They're listening. They're paying attention to what he's saying. And so they don't argue. They don't enter into a debate with the enemy. And they don't doubt what Hezekiah has said. The army is before him, and it's probably scary. But you know what? When you're trusting in the Lord, you can do what he says. Because the enemy is all around us, and he's ferocious. And he's big. He's large. We can't beat him on our own, but our God can beat him. He already beat him. It's, what does it say about Jesus? The last enemy that defeated was death, and it defeated all the works of the enemy that the enemy brought into mankind. He defeated every part of it. We can trust him because we have real life. The people held their peace, and they answered him not a word, for the king's commandment was, answer him not. Then came Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah, which was over the household, and Shebna the scribe, and Joah, and the son of Asaph the recorder. And they came to Hezekiah with their clothes rent, and they told him the words of Rabshakeh. And this shakes Hezekiah, but he does a great thing. And it says in verse 1 of 19, and we'll finish up here, it says, and it came to pass that when King Hezekiah heard of it, that he rent his clothes, showing mourning, showing discomfort, displeasure, and he covered himself with sackcloth. But what did he do? He didn't stop there. Where did he go for counsel? Where did he go for help? Where did he go? He went into the house of the Lord. Oh, the greatest place we can ever go is to go into the presence of our Lord. We may be shaken. We may rend our clothes just showing discomfort. We may be discomforted. We may be shaken in our hearts, but if we go into the house of the Lord, that's where the place of strength is. That's where the place of comfort is. And that's the place where God is going to meet with us and speak to our hearts. He's not going to speak to you while you're looking at the enemy and seeing how big he is. He's going to speak to you in the comfort of his own presence. You get away from the things of the world. When bad things happen to us, and folks, you know bad things are going to happen. There's bad things happening all around us. There's bad things happening in your own life. Don't look at those things. You see how big your God is. How big is your God to you today? Is he bigger than your finances? Is he bigger than the disbelief of your family? Is he bigger than the way the country looks? And if he is, go in and meet with him. The first thing that we should do is the thing that Hezekiah did. Get before your God and sit before him. If these things come, don't be so shaken that you can't pick up your Bible and read. That's the best place for us to read. If you can't concentrate on the word, turn on some praise music and just start worshiping. And just be before your God and sit there until he speaks to you. The enemy can't move until God lets him. And if he's in front of you, sit before your God and let him speak to you and tell you how you're going to do as you go through this. But get there quickly. And I encourage you, if you don't do devotions in the morning before you start your day, get up early. Our granddaughter comes to us every morning. She's with us every day. If I don't get before the Lord before she gets there, it's a bad day. And if it's a bad day for me, it's a bad day for her. So I have to get up at 5 now so that I have 2 hours before she gets there so that I can meet with God. Because if I don't do that, I'm a mess. I need that much time. If you're facing something, get up early and get before God and let him speak to you. It's a good thing to sit before your God because he's got strength, he's got comfort, he's got encouragement, he's got hope that the world is not going to give you. That no good thing in this world is going to give to you. The world may promise you your own field and your own cistern and all the pleasures of life that you look at. But God gives you something greater than that. He gives you an eternity in heaven that this world can't see. And he's promised it to us. Do you believe him? We go, well, yeah, when things are good. Father, help us, Lord, as we go through our days. We know the condition of our heart, Lord. We see it, and sometimes we wonder if we're even walking with you at all sometimes. But, Lord, we know that you have a plan and a purpose for us that goes well beyond anything that we can ever think of. You want to bless, you want to encourage, you want to strengthen, you want to help, you want to be our all in all. And Father, we want to trust you today like that. So help us with it, Lord. As we enter into these days and we don't know what's coming, Lord, it may be wonderful for a season, and that's great, Lord. And if it is, help us to keep our focus on you. Lord, if the days that we face are going to be a mess, then Lord, help us to focus on who you are. In any way that we go, Lord, help us to focus on who you are. You're the one, you're the giver of life. You're the giver of peace. You're the one who brings us into a place of rest. Help us to cast our burdens upon you. For your yoke is easy and your burden is light. And you'll walk with us through it, Lord. So help us with that. We love you, we thank you, and we ask that you just be with us now and help us to be examples to our family as we come into Thanksgiving, to our friends, to our community, to our co-workers. Lord, that we would just be those influencers that would just bring Jesus into the situation, that they could see what a life given to Jesus looks like. Father, make them thirsty. Help us to be salty so that they are thirsty. But help us to be like you, Lord. We want to be your image bearers in this place, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.